With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
The radio.com app. Listen anytime, anywhere, and favorite us today. WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS, Memphis's sports station. Data message rates apply. National contest. It's time to win your radio.com cash. Download the radio.com app, favorite 92.9 FM, ESPN, and win $1,000 right now with this code word this hour.
All right, good morning. It is the code word GROW. Text GROW, G-R-O-W, to 72881. Somebody making a joke about Jeffrey. Text the word GROW to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. Y'all have 60 minutes to do so, and you can get your Thursday morning started here with $1,000. Good luck. Text GROW now, G-R-O-W, to 72881. We got another code word coming your way just before Chris comes on at 10.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't. He ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interviews. I know. I'm good.
92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host, Jeffrey Wright.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday to you, wherever you may be. Happy NFL preseason kickoff games to you, wherever you be. I'm lusting for football. I know my friends are lusting for football. A lot of you out there are probably lusting for some football, so we can get some fake real football today. Good for all of us. It's a Christmas miracle. Sure. Brad Carson, good day, sir.
Hey, what's going on? I see that Tiger has teed off and craptastically has started off with a 12-foot putt for bogey.
He was 3 over through 2, and when your scores start to resemble a 10 handicap, like when your start resembles
don't make judgments about 10 handicaps or even 20 handicaps.
I'm
frankly.
Not making judgments about them, but I'm just saying when you're lining up and trying to win a PGA championship, that's not a great start.
Listen, Windyke and Germantown Country Club have both seen that. So
everybody knows, very tight off the tees. You know, you can make a lot of big numbers. Everybody knows that, of course. Tell you what's coming up on the program. Jeff Calkins is going to join us. He is on the road, headed back here to Memphis. We'll talk with Jeff here momentarily. Eric Edholm does a fantastic job covering the NFL. We'll talk with Eric about the big day as well as the big-time storylines and more in the NFL at the bottom part of the hour. Then Chris Harrington, as Brad mentioned, will join us right around 10 o'clock as the introduction so eloquently says. We will also give you another cash code for the radio.com cash contest right before Chris comes on, and then Jonah Jordan's going to pop in studio today to talk some Tigers. How now? I should say now, without further ado, we bring on the man that lends his voice to this here very program. He, of course, is the lead sports columnist for the Daily Memphian. He is Jeff Calkins. Jeff, good day, sir. How are you?
I'm good, Jeffrey. Headed back, blazing along through northern Michigan on my way back to Memphis. And it's been good to be up here, but it'll be good to be back home.
We will very much be excited to have you back here. I wanted to start first with you. Speaking of news from the homeland, the NBA announced yesterday that the Memphis Grizzlies would be included in the MLK Day celebration games, and more importantly, they would be included on Monday. What were your thoughts?
Oh, I think my thoughts are the same as everybody's thoughts, which is good for them. I mean, good for everybody. It's a fairly obvious win. There was obviously the moment when it was moved briefly to Sunday in exchange for sort of more national exposure. And that was a trade that not many people liked. I don't blame the Grizzlies for giving it a whirl. Last year's was really tremendous, honestly, what they did last year. And I think that maybe reminded people of the significance of Memphis and of Memphis's role, let's be honest, in launching the whole event. And so that's good. And I liked Pete Pranica's tweet. He tweeted out that Memphis is involved, and that's good, but Atlanta should also be involved. And I think that's equally true. There are two cities that have a particular connection for different reasons to MLK, and it would be best if both teams were hosting games. And the truth of the matter is, as long as there are Golden State Warriors out there and LeBron and whatnot, you can make those games that people want to watch, because you could just stick the Warriors against them or LeBron against them, and they become instantly watchable, or at least nationally appealing. I mean, we would watch certainly anyway, but Pelicans, Grizzlies, I'll be there, and I'm glad that they're doing it. Also, is nice. I like the fact that the schedule is dribbling out, dribs and drabs of the schedule. It'll be interesting to see if the full schedule is released, what it looks like for the Grizzlies, who they open with, how. I think the start is going to be really important for this team, and honestly, really important for, of course, kind of community morale, right? You don't want to get in a position where you start 2-8 and people are immediately talking about, here we go again. Like, you just, and so I'll be really interested when the actual schedule comes out and what the start looks like, because I think you want people to know that last year, you want it to feel like last year was an aberration. And so if they can come out, if Mike's healthy, if Mark's healthy, if they can start strong, you know, they can go even just 6-4 during their first 10. That would be, okay, these are the Grizzlies that are back. And so, that was clearly a win for Memphis and a win for the Grizzlies. But I'm interested in how the whole schedule is going to play out in this very difficult West.
You mentioned the kind of the way fans feel about this team. And I'm curious, because Chris and I discussed this yesterday, but we didn't really get to pose this specific question to you. When you look at this roster, how are you feeling about it? Like, for instance, Chris and I both talked about, like, coming into the season, like, we're both at this point where they feel like they've raised their floor so much. Like, I don't see them, unless a catastrophic injury obviously happens to Mike or Mark, I don't see them really being all that bad. But at the same time, like, I don't know if my hopes are that high. Like, I'm in this weird spot with this roster where I don't think they're going to be a bad team by any stretch of the imagination, but I just don't know how high the ceiling is.
Well, I think what you're seeing sort of is there is a intellectual acknowledgement that what the Grizzlies did this summer made sense on a lot of levels, right? And I think we've sort of, there's a nodding appreciation. Okay, yeah, that kind of made sense. Yeah, that kind of made sense. Oh, that's good. And yet there's no emotional excitement.
Yes.
To the extent there's any emotional excitement, it's over Jaren Jackson Jr. There's some, this could be fun. Like, but that's what ultimately drives, and I'm not pitting the teams against each other at all, but when you get to, with the Tigers right now, Tiger basketball, it's just, there's no question it's an intellectual acknowledgement that what's happened has been good, but it's crossed over into crazy enthusiasm for what might be to come. Almost irrational exuberance, as they talk about in the stock market, irrational exuberance. And fandom is at its most powerful and silly and whatever else when you get into irrational exuberance. And there is no irrational exuberance with these Grizzlies. They didn't make the kind of moves that create irrational exuberance. They made the kind of sensible, let's slowly build this kind of thing that creates a nodding appreciation. And so I think that's another reason that it's, yeah, people are sort of saying, okay, yeah, that's better. But is that going to drive them to buy tickets? Is that going to drive the sort of support that we've seen for the Grizzlies over the last however many years since the grit and grind era? So it's the difference between meeting someone and acknowledging that person might be a good person to date and falling in love, you know?
Yeah.
It's the emotion part of it. And so I think people say, oh, yeah, I can see they've fixed up with that. Like, whatever. Like, I think that's what's happened. I think there's
yes. In term, when you think about it, when you use your head, you think, okay, this is good for you. But in the end, fandom has to be driven by the heart. And there's not anything yet, except for Jaren Jackson Jr., particularly when he messed that first game, that's gotten the heart beating fast. And I think that's what they need to do, is to get the heart beating fast. And Jaren Jackson Jr. is the clearest way to do that. But winning a bunch of games at the outset would be really the most emphatic way to do that.
I know we talk about Jaren Jackson being on a learning curve, but one real big thing about him that I'm really glad that he's going through right now, after Jaren Jackson had the summer of Jaren Jackson where he got to, you know, he was celebrated, he was on cloud nine, I was really glad that he immediately got a penny treatment and got buried down the news cycle so that way he can at least, you know, it's the learning curve's all about experiencing things early in your career, and so I thought it was really important for him to get a taste of that early.
I don't think he probably, I think he probably is blissfully unaware of what we're talking about on Sports Talk Radio, where he is on the totem pole of things that Memphis sports fans talk about. So I'm not sure that's the comeuppance that you imagine it to be, but I do think that there is real potential excitement there. And so anyway, yeah, glad the game is back on that Monday, and hope that when we get to that Monday, the Grizzlies will be in play. That would be that's what you're hoping, is that when that game comes around between the Pelicans and the Grizzlies, that it means something for the Grizzlies beyond the fact that it is this day. And that is the hope for the franchise.
Yes. Other than, as you said, one of the two or three games a year that they need to win from your perspective. Yes. You would like it to actually be a game that, for a lot of reasons, the Grizzlies need to win. Talking, of course, with Jeff Calkins. He's on his way back from Michigan. He'll be in studio tomorrow here on the program. And then our second topic of the day comes to us yet again from the NCAA. Jeff, according to sources, their new rule about whether or not players can hire agents. There are now stories out there, including Adrian Wojnarowski's story, that says that story completely blindsided USA Basketball, who would be in charge of determining which players could or could not sign an agent. What were your thoughts on just kind of the way this entire thing has played out?
Well, I mean, it's typical. It almost seems silly to beat up on the NCAA, because everybody does, and B, as most people acknowledge, the NCAA is not a thing. It's a collection of, it's the universities. That's what it is. It's not a separate entity. It's the universities speaking through this entity. And but having said that, it's just the dumbest thing in the world. I mean, so what's happened is obviously they're anticipating that the one and done rule will change. They can't change it because that has to be collective bargaining with the NBA. It's not something colleges cannot force players to go to college. So it has to be in the end, when it changes, that'll be the NBA that changes it. Says we won't take people until they're a year out of high school. But in anticipation of that, they are changing various things, including they're letting some players who are not drafted return to school, and then they are letting some players get an agent. The obvious question is, why in God's name why don't you just let every player get an agent? I mean, if you want to talk to an agent about your future, why not let everyone talk to an agent about their future? And if you acknowledge that it's ridiculous and pathetic that a player can declare for the draft, not be drafted, and yet be excluded from going back to school, why do you limit that to certain players? So the premise is, it's okay, we're going to do this, but while we're doing this, we are going to maintain control of the system. It's all about that. It's about maintaining control of what they okay, we're going to kind of maybe do this, but not really, because we're going to still be in control. And so what they've done is they've limited the number of players in order to be one of the players who goes through who can return after college. I mean, after not being drafted, you have to have gone through the combine. You have to have done all of that. In order to be one of the players who could talk to an agent, you have to be identified as an elite athlete, which is just stupid on its face. But then the second stupid part, as you point out, is that they said, okay, who's gonna be responsible for identifying the elite athletes? And I said, well, we'll make it USA Basketball. Well, USA Basketball didn't know that it was going to be USA Basketball. And it's just like, come on. You seriously could not make the NCAA look any dumber than it makes itself look on a routine basis. And so it's just astonishing. Plus, it absolutely makes no sense. What is USA Basketball going to tell you which international players can get agents? What the heck does USA Basketball have to do with international players? How about international players who play for U.S. teams? Are they like and are awesome in a U.S. Like what in the world? They said, oh, well, we'll get USA Basketball doing this without working it out with USA Basketball. And it's just typical in the NCAA. And it's why no one has – I don't really know, like, is there an organization that's more uniformly considered incompetent and a farce? I mean, I think the IRS, people, you know, no one likes the IRS, but I don't think it's seen as
– you can say what you want about the IRS from an emotional standpoint. But at least the IRS is very effective at getting your money.
They get their money. I don't think they're seen as yes, but yeah, whatever. But I don't know. People don't really complain like about the IRS as they once did. First of all, but second of all,
that is true. I miss good old IRS jokes. Like where they go?
Yeah, there's really not. I don't want to have an IRS. But like, what is the organization that is more uniformly incompetent? It's hard to think of. Well, I mean, the NFL, honestly, is pretty much ridiculed, right? The NFL for its investigations, for its bungling of the anthem issue one way or another, however you feel about it. The NFL is also seen as fundamentally incompetent a lot. But I don't think it approaches the NFL level and the NCAA level of disdain, scorn, and incompetence, because people that do acknowledge the NFL is at least crushing it. Like, they may be incompetent and all that.
I think the NFL handles controversy poorly, but the other thing about the NFL, like,
it handles business well.
Yes.
Controversy poorly, business well.
Yes.
I guess that's probably right.
And so, and the other flip side of it for me, it's because the NFL's the biggest business in all of sports, particularly in this country, it gets scrutinized more. I feel like if the NCAA were on level revenue terms with the NFL, I feel like the NCAA would be infinitely more scrutinized than the NFL because they're
it's
that much.
It's astonishing. This whole thing, this is a reaction to the FBI deal, of course. And then it's so there you are. You're like at the very threshold, you're being reactive as opposed to proactive. And then the way you react only shines a light on your further incompetence. It's astonishing. And yet, of course, it's not astonishing. And so there you have it.
You know what surprises me about this, though? Like, for instance, this is another thing that's always kind of driven me insane. The NCAA has, like, they're the ultimate slippery slope thing. Like, well, we can't allow someone to buy a player a hot dog because then that hot dog turns into a steak dinner for the big schools. Like, and they're Mr. Slippery Slope argument. Like, that's always their whole deal. Yet now they're coming up with separate rules based on whether or not a kid's good or not. Like, it.
Well, that's the thing. And in order to because they, and then what the slippery slope is, instead of just saying, go, you can do it. Like, that's it. They won't simply relinquish control over this. And so that's why I say that that's what it's ultimately about. And then you're exactly right. What they do is they create this stupid superstructure and more rules. I mean, we had Tom Bowen in, Gary Parish had Tom Bowen in a week ago, and he talked about the rule book coming out and whatever. It's another 1,500 pages or whatever the heck it was. And here we are now. Yes, there's a whole separate subsection A, subsection through W about how you get to be one of the players that gets that. Why not? What's wrong with having players talk to agents? Like, why wouldn't you want a player who is entering into a contract with a university, among other things, in terms of signing a letter of intent? Why can't they talk to a professional about it? Does anyone need guidance more than a young athlete who might not have had any kind of experience with this at all.
No, like, it'd actually be a life skill. You could make the argument getting a experienced, getting an experienced
advisor to help you. Yes. Why wouldn't you want that? Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. And then why would you want some athletes to not be drafted and to not be able to go back to college? Like,
Well, like,
open
that's another,
door.
That
just
right there,
open the door.
That point you make right there is another thing that drives me insane. We also have different rules for NCAA athletes based upon what sport they play. For instance, if I'm a sophomore, if I'm a draft-eligible sophomore in college baseball, if I get drafted in the 15th round and I don't like what kind of money I'm going to get, I get to go back to school. No penalty, no nothing. And then if I'm a junior, I get to do it again. Like, but yet if I play basketball or if I play football and I enter the draft and I don't get drafted where I want to be,
That shows it is not about the kids. It shows it is about protecting, as we know it is, protecting their future income streams, both the income streams of the NCAA itself and the income streams of the university. What's next?
All right, speaking of the NFL, I've always wondered this. Do you actually care about preseason games? How do you feel about them in general?
I love them.
Me too.
I love them. Now, I don't love, to be clear, I didn't. Six was preposterous, and I think four is too many. And so I'd be happy to cut it down to two.
Yes, I agree.
And I don't love that they make people pay full price for the season tickets. That's ridiculous. And like, but just emotionally, see, I'm the opposite of you and Gary Parrish in this way. You and Gary bet in part. If I understand this, is to create more juice, to more excitement, more, there's more on the line. Gary's bored when he watches the game if there's nothing on the line. And I'm the opposite. I don't like that tension. I don't like caring. I don't like that because then things are at stake and you can lose. And I don't like, I can't, whether it's my team losing, me losing money, like, no, I can't deal with things. I don't like bad things. and so I don't like putting myself in a position where bad things can happen. Right. And
okay.
So, and so I would never in a million years put money on a game because it would make me unhappy if I lose. I don't even like filling out an NCAA bracket for that reason. And the beautiful thing about an exhibition game or a preseason game is you can watch your team with absolutely nothing at stake. There is literally nothing riding on the outcome of this game. So I get all the fun of thinking about my team getting better or get whatever and analyzing my team and watching the players and imagining what they might be and whatever without any of the tension of they might lose a meaningful game. So for me, an exhibition game, preseason game, whatever you want to call it, is the best of all worlds. Now, in the fourth quarter or even the second half of these games tonight, when they're playing players who literally will never play, I'm less interested there.
Except your team has a young quarterback.
Yes. No, he'll play. And, in fact, he'll probably play the whole second half. So I'm interested in that. But, yes, watching the free agents,
sure,
signees who will never, like, that doesn't particularly interest me. But, yes, watching young, promising players is fun. I mean, it's because I think about sports exactly the opposite of the way you guys do. You like extra, you'll bet on these games tonight to put extra juice on these games. I would never in a million years do it because I don't like tension. I just don't like tension or excitement or what. It's why I don't actually. I'm in the weirdest sports fan in the world. People, I don't watch my teams because I care too much and I don't like caring that much. So I grant you, it is bizarre, but and I do sometimes. It's much easier for me to watch. It's much easier for me to watch an exhibition game. There's no question. I would, if I weren't driving and if I had access to the Bills game tonight, they play the Panthers, Josh Allen, we'll get to see him, see what he looks like in a real game, see him miss wide open receivers in a real game.
But he'll also hit 50% of them.
Yeah. And, You gotta say, hope he's good. I'm hoping he's good. But I would absolutely watch that. Will I watch their opener? Would I watch their opener? I'll probably watch their opener until they go down by a touchdown. And then I'll say, yeah, I can't take this, turn it off, and check in later. And then I'll listen to the whole postgame show if they actually win. Every minute of the postgame show, every stupid caller who calls in to talk about whatever, and I won't listen if they lose. And we all process sports in our own way, and I do it. That's how I process it. How many of these games will you bet on tonight?
We got a slate, I believe, of 14 tonight. I'm going to probably start around 5 o'clock, so if we're just saying straight up, like, play at the start, I'd say probably half. Now that doesn't include, like,
as the games go on, you'll
right. What if I see a halftime vanity line that just jumps out at me and it just says this is a winner, like this can't lose.
A halftime exhibition line, that's beautiful.
Now
that
I will clarify. I do agree. Like when you're trying to describe the reason why I gamble for the extra juice, that's an added element. But also another big added element for me is it makes me way better at my job. Because you will remember so many players, so many names. You will form opinions very quickly on whether or not someone can or can't play.
Let me ask you this, though. I do agree with that.
Yes.
Honestly, it does make you way better at your job. But if you were offered $1 million a year,
yes,
to not work in sports media,
okay,
here you go, Jeffrey. I'm going to pay you to not work in sports media, $5 million a year for the rest of your life.
Yep.
You would still gamble, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, I'd go do that.
Yeah, so it's not.
And even worse, I'd probably gamble more.
I appreciate this whole, listen, I gamble because it makes me better at my job theory, but I think it makes you better at your job, but it's not the reason you gamble.
Okay, speaking of gambling and people's jobs, Buffalo Wild Wings reportedly, according to Bleacher Report, because they are the country's largest chain of sports bars, it seems like a good fit. They want to get into the sports betting business. And I don't know if they could pull it off, but if they could, Jeff, this is revolutionary.
It would be. Well, first of all, it's a little problematic.
It's very problematic.
Ads, you remember those ads at Buffalo Wild Wings where they're controlling the game?
Yes.
Just to get people to stay. I forgot the point of it. Why are they?
So they had the overtime button in which, like, someone was breaking away for an open field touchdown, and then the guy turned on the sprinklers.
Yeah. So you don't exactly. This could be a problem if you got the over or something at Buffalo Wild Wings and you got the overtime button. So it could be problematic from that perspective. Of course, Buffalo Wild Wings, if they could, like, which is more lucrative, selling chicken wings or collecting a percentage of every dollar bet in a sports book, whether you win or lose?
With all due respect to Gus's empire, I've seen the casinos. I've seen the casinos in Vegas. I think sports betting appears to be a little bit more lucrative.
So, of course, Buffalo Wild Wings would love to do this. They're not going to be allowed to do this. Can you just imagine heading over there to? There's still the one at Poplar and Highland. Is it still there?
Yeah, that one is a delicious Mexican restaurant that I've eaten at way more than
it's
I.
No longer,
there's the one. There's the one. The one that I know is at Winchester and Hacks Cross.
I mean, the Wing Guru probably would like to get into sports gambling. Yeah, there you get better wings. Right?
Yes, 100% better wings.
Better wings, but of course they'd like to do it. You know, the story goes on to say that of course, in the end, this is up to the states. The states will regulate.
Sure.
Yes, sports betting is no longer is now states can go ahead and have sports betting within their state. They determine the circumstances of that sports betting, and so I can't really imagine a day when they're going to say, "Listen, it can be in casinos and in Buffalo Wild Wings," right? So in the story itself, they talk about how. They're going to have to partner with a current gaming operator in order to pull this off. And with all due respect, I don't see what's in it for the current gaming operator to be partnering with Buffalo Wild Wings. I mean, it's fine. That would be great. It is interesting. It does sort of raise the question of, why, where should sports betting be? Like, why should it be limited to casinos? Why can't you wander down to your Gus's Fried Chicken and place a wager? Where do we want sports betting? If you go to other countries, in England, there's sports, like, everywhere. There's
in the stadium.
Books. Yeah, in the stadium itself, you can bet.
I've always said if you want fans to stick out throughout the entire game, put sports books in the stadium and tell them they can't cash out until the game's over.
Until the game's over. Yeah. Yeah. So, but obviously, it is no surprise that Buffalo Wild Wings would want to do this. I think it'll be a little while before Buffalo Wild Wings does do this, if ever.
All right. And then lastly, speaking of really bad quick food, McDonald's is now officially the least popular fast food chain in the country. Only 28% of people say that they're actual fans of McDonald's. This, according to Reader's Digest.
I think some of that's because people are embarrassed to say that they're fans of McDonald's. I think McDonald's has a
stigma.
It does not have a reputation that some other fast food places do of necessarily pristine deliciousness, right?
Yes.
Nutritious deliciousness. But people go to McDonald's very clearly. And I will tell you, I have been to McDonald's today. I stopped for a sausage McMuffin with egg or a sausage egg McMuffin just recently. And I think they're delicious. I've sort of knocked off getting two cheeseburgers, but I used to get two cheeseburgers all the time. I understand why McDonald's is bad for America and whatever else. But I think that 28% is partly a product of no one is allowed to say they like McDonald's. Like, you're not supposed to. It's just like that's not something you're allowed to say. Now, I will say this. There's a separate McDonald's promotion going on right now whereby you can get a gold McDonald's card.
The McGold.
There's one lucky winner who gets a gold McDonald's card. It is good for free McDonald's for the rest of your life. And I think the very interesting question is, if that were presented to you, Jeffrey, and I'm going to further hypothesize that you would have to eat all, you can't ever buy anything for anyone else.
Okay.
According to this, you could, anything you want to eat at McDonald's, you can have at McDonald's with this gold card, as much as you want, as many times as you want. No restriction. Would you actually want it?
Could I sell it?
No.
No. No, I wouldn't.
It would make me go to McDonald's more.
Yeah.
And I know I shouldn't go to McDonald's more.
And my whole thing is, like, I used to, like, I'm not even trying to, like, be a McDonald's hater, because, like, I can understand time and place for everything. But when McDonald's, clearly, either they changed the oil that they cooked the fries in, something clearly changed about that French fry.
Well, we understand the fries.
And ever since that fries changed, I've just lost interest.
So wait a second. You would not take the card because you would never go and never use it. Well, then you might as well take it just in case you need a drink, right? You go get a soft drink.
Yeah, but their soft drink mixes aren't as good. Like, I'll stand by this. Their Dr. Pepper does not taste as good as...
You would rather go pay for a drink somewhere else than you get a free drink at McDonald's?
Yes. The Dr. Pepper at McDonald's does not taste like Dr. Pepper.
See, for me, it's totally different. I would not take it because I would use it. You would not take it because you wouldn't use it. In which case, you might as well take it, but still. But no, for me, it would be, and I might take it. I would just have to not let it change my eating habits. Like, I'll go once. Now I go less than, maybe once a month. But if I could get, like, if I had breakfast free, I'd spend whatever. I couldn't buy Peter the hotcakes. Peter had hotcakes this morning. But if I could have gotten my sausage muffin, why wouldn't I want that for free? The only reason I wouldn't want it for free is if I would go back tomorrow and the next day, in which case, no, I would not want it.
All right, Jeff.
You got to go. I appreciate Jason being there. I appreciate – no, it's not Jason today, is it? No,
Eric at home. Eric at home's in here. And then
Jason's
Chris.
I'll talk to Jason and the rest of y'all tomorrow.
Correct, buddy. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks, man. See ya.
Jeff Calkins, live from the road again. Jeff will be back in studio tomorrow to join the program, to host the program, I should say. When we come back, Eric Edholm does a fantastic job covering the NFL for Pro Football Weekly. We'll discuss all the big storylines as we head into the big kickoff day for preseason football and more. So if you got a fantasy draft coming up, if you've got maybe some interest
Perhaps you want to maybe take some win totals in the NFL. We'll discuss all that with Eric when we come back right here on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
92.9 FM, ESPN is Memphis's NFL station. Listen for the Titans game against the Packers tonight. Coverage at 6 p.m., kickoff at 7 p.m., live on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This is Mike Keith, and you're listening to Memphis's home of the Tennessee Titans.
This is Taylor Lewan, and you're listening to Memphis's home of the Tennessee Titans, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
It's the Titans on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
So maybe you're sitting in your house one day, and you notice, hey, there are cracks in the walls. Or, hey, are those floors sinking or sloping a bit? That could be the sign of a foundation problem. And if you have a foundation problem, you have a serious problem, and you need to get in touch with the Redeemers Group, a local company that has been serving Memphis and the Mid-South for over a decade and that offers complete and permanent solutions at an affordable price. They handle foundation repair, crawl space repair, basement waterproofing, and concrete leveling. All you've got to do is call Redeemers Group at 541-865-541-8765, and they're going to send an expert out to your home, no cost. They're going to come out, size up the situation, and give you an estimate. At that point, you decide exactly what you want to do. If you want to proceed with the project, you can mention my name, Jeff Calkins. You'll get an additional $50 off your repair project. If you don't want to proceed, for whatever reason at all, just say no thanks, and you don't owe them a penny. So there's literally no downside in calling, but there could be a big downside in waiting. Call Redeemers Group at 541-8765. That's 541-8765. Or find them on the web, redeemersgroup.com.
Hey, Tennessee. GEICO presents need-to-know information because you have to draw the line between what you need to know and what you don't.
When I know I'll see different people all day, I'll wear the same outfit 2 days in a row.
See, didn't need to know that. But when it comes to insurance, the more you know, the better. Like knowing GEICO is the second largest auto insurer in the country. Plus, they've been around for over 75 years and have a 97% customer satisfaction rating.
Whenever I say, this is fun, what I mean is, this is awkward and I don't know how to express my feelings.
Again, not really needed. But knowing GEICO offers more than just car insurance is important. Like motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. And the GEICO Insurance Agency can help you insure your home, apartment, and condo.
I've eaten more cookie dough in my life than baked cookies.
And not needed. But you should know, GEICO has local agents in your area that could help you find even more ways to save. And GEICO offers emergency roadside service. Switching insurance is an important decision. You can never know too much about it. So, Tennessee, contact GEICO online, over the phone, or at your local office for all the information you really need.
So I went to Bounty the other day. You know, the farm-to-table restaurant on Broad. It was unforgettable. I had the fried oysters because I always have the fried oysters, which are seriously the best I've ever had. I had the lamb ribs, which are unbelievable, even in a town where ribs are usually associated with pork. I skipped the pork shank because you can't have everything, although it is fall-off-the-bone good. But I did have the Brussels sprouts and the eggplant lasagna and the key lime pie, which is one of the best, most underrated desserts in town. The point is this. Go to Bounty. Everything is sourced from local farmers. Everything is then prepared with extraordinary care, and then everything is served in a high-beamed restaurant, which is so open and beautiful, it makes you feel good about being in the place. Or just stop by the bar if you prefer. The cocktails are as well-crafted as the food. Bounty opens at 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday and can accommodate private parties from 12 all the way up to 200 guests. If you like farm-to-table excellence, Bounty is for you. It's located at 2519 Broad Avenue. Learn more online or just call them at 901-410-8131. That's 901-410-8131.
Listen up. Lessons from Snoop. Start with the basics. Everyone thinks it's all about the car and the clothes. But start with the skin. Start with the hair. And make sure down there is working. So what we gonna do right here? We gonna get dressed, look fresh. I never promise anything, but here's one thing I'm gonna promise. From me to you, go to forhims.com and get your game together. So you can look good, feel good, and perform well in the bedroom. Go to forhims.com, the wellness brand for men. They got a one-stop shop for your hair, your skin, and even for your hairline. It's $5. $5 to try it out, man. And it comes right to your crib. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Don't meet me there. Beat me there. Go to forhims.com/fresh. FORHIMS.com/fresh. FORHIMS/fresh. Go.
So it's Jeff Calkins here for Cooper Systems. For the longest time, my former employer wouldn't let me do endorsements, so I couldn't tell you that I'm a Cooper Systems customer myself. True story. When my laptop got all tangled up with viruses, I went to Cooper Systems. When I needed a reasonably priced laptop for my sons, Cooper Systems. And why not? For more than 30 years, Cooper Systems has been serving the computer needs of Memphians. Got networking challenges? Cooper Systems can plan, design, install, and maintain your network. Need help with data recovery? Cooper Systems experts can handle that. Crack screen? No problem. Oh, and if you're in the market to buy a computer, Cooper Systems prices are typically half the price of big box stores. They've got big name brands like Apple, Dell, Hewlett Packard, Toshiba, Lenovo, and more. And if you're a gamer or know someone who is, like my sons, Cooper is the best in the city at building and customizing a complete gaming system to fit your needs within your budget. So call Lee and Lauren Cooper at 360-9679. That's 360-9679. Or just stop in and visit them in the Mount Moriah Office Park.
Hurry into Kroger and save at the digital sale. Friday and Saturday only, select 10 packs of Capri Sun are just 99 cents with Plus Card and digital coupon at Kroger.
Hey, Memphis area, do you want to start wholesaling properties for cash? Over the last 5 years, Nick Vertucci, founder of the NV Real Estate Academy, and his team have been perfecting the art of wholesaling properties for cash. Call now and he'll send you a free copy of his new kit, The Hidden Treasures in Wholesaling Property. In this kit, you will see how he locates, evaluates, and flips a property in any area. You'll also learn how to potentially access discounted real estate and find funding partners for a property to wholesale. Call 1-800-587-1062 now to get your free wholesaling kit. Call 800-587-1062 now and receive free live training in your area, which includes a free meal, a free smartwatch, and free USB drive loaded with his training information. Call 800-587-1062. Again, call 800-587-1062. That's 800-587-1062 now and get your free kit today.
92.9 FM, 680 AM, and 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM, ESPN. Today's special guest host, Jeffrey Wright.
Eric Edholm covers the NFL for Pro Football Weekly. You can follow him on Twitter, at Eric_Edholm. He joins me now. Eric, good day, sir. How are you, buddy?
What's happening, man? Been a while.
It's been a while. I got to ask you, how do you feel? Like, I've got butterflies today. Now, I don't have the same butterflies that I'll probably have week one, but I don't know, man. It's just kind of exciting. How are you feeling?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's obviously, I think we've got, what, 12 games tonight or something like that. I mean, there's obviously a lot of stuff going on. We've got, you know, we got Andrew Luck returning to the field. We've got Deshaun Watson getting healthy for the Texans. You know, a lot of players that we're kind of anxious to see for the first time. So, yeah, I mean, it's great. It's a great time of year. You know, preseason football, my interest can wane after about the first quarter, but, you know, I'm into it. I'm into seeing just those little brief glimpses.
Obviously, the owners have probably more to say about it than anyone, but if I made you the commissioner for the day for the NFL, what do you think the perfect number of preseason games is for interest, for the sake of players? What do you think the perfect number is?
I would probably say three, but, you know, I've heard some coaches say, hey, if you give us two preseason games, that's fine. But we need, you know, the same amount or extra of camp time. Or, boy, wouldn't it be cool if there was some sort of way to guarantee that we could have joint practices.
Sure.
That would simulate that kind of live look situation. I mean, I've been to a few of these things, and I'm going to two next week. I'm going to Lions and Giants. I'm going to Ravens and Colts. And I just feel like those are very valuable things. There's a reason why the Patriots have done it virtually every year. This year is they don't have one this year, but they're valuable. So I know that doesn't produce TV revenue, but if there was a way to broadcast it or get some sort of interest and some sort of broadcasting potential out of that, you know, maybe there's a way to kind of offset it, but it's such a big moneymaker. Those ticket prices don't pay for themselves, you know?
It is weird that if we just put practice in a stadium, we'll pay for it. Yet,
right,
if it's on a practice field, we kind of don't know what to do with it. You know, the angles right from the cameras are weird. We don't really, but I mean, for God's sakes, I mean, a preseason game is just a scrimmage with refs. I mean, that's just what it is. So it is funny how just putting it in the stadium kind of changes our complete opinion of it.
Absolutely. I mean, right. It people are willing to pay for that, you know, and yet when teams try to charge for parking or, you know, training camp practices like the Redskins did years ago, everybody's all up in arms about it. But there's something about the feeling of a game and everybody in their full uniforms and all that. I, you know, the crowds filling up. You're absolutely right. You know, it's kind of like our newspaper business or magazine business. Like, you give it to us for free on online, but you want us to pay for it now?
Right.
Come on. Well, you know, obviously that's a bad metaphor in some ways, but that's kind of how it is.
Well, no, I mean, that's just what it is. I don't know. Like, to me, like, there's an expectation. It's like, if you somehow have the opportunity to go watch practice, there is some weird idea like, well, practice should kind of be free. It doesn't count for anything, so therefore we should be able to go for it for free. But it's the same thing with, like, it's once you start giving people stuff for free, they're done. Once you start trying to monetize it, you better be creative in how you monetize it, and it better not just be straight up, hey, well, you're just going to pay for a ticket for this, because then people seem to really push back.
Yeah, I think you're right. And so, right, if there's any reduction to the preseason schedule in the future, I mean, look, you know, I know people say, oh, the teams are making so much money on this thing. There's no guarantee that NFL games are going to continue to be sold or attended at a, you know, 85% to 95% level or higher for most teams. You've got to find a way to offset that revenue. And so, you know, for now, season ticket holders, part of the package is the preseason. You pay for two games that you may or may not go to. Maybe they go to the mailman, you know, those tickets. But, you know, maybe they go to a friend for his bar mitzvah or something mm-hmm. like that. But, yeah, you have to find a way to offset that revenue if you're going to take away preseason games.
Talking, of course, with Eric Edholm of Pro Football Weekly. And then I was reading a story in the Action Network. I can't remember if it was Monday or Tuesday. But this kind of took me by surprise, and I was curious to get your thoughts. According to Las Vegas, the team that has the most money on them, and obviously that accounts for odds, so some people may be seeing value out there, so therefore they think it's worth the risk. But the team that has the most amount of money on them to win the Super Bowl right now is the Green Bay Packers. And obviously last year, with the fact of Rodgers getting hurt and their record probably being less than what it should have been, and so that kind of affects scheduling and whatnot, but did that surprise you to see that, I mean, that's sharp money, essentially, that are on the Packers to win?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, they are a signature team. You know, the Packers, Cowboys, Patriots, you know, those are now kind of the marquee franchises. So there's something about that. Even if we thought the Jaguars were the most talented team, it's probably unlikely that they would have the most money come in on them. You know, if you remember back in until the odds changed, you know, the St. Louis Rams for a 3-year stretch were better than any team in football.
You know,
they made Super Bowls, they were, you know, but they didn't always get the sharp money. And I think some of that was because they weren't necessarily a marquee franchise or historically marquee franchise. So I think that has a little bit of a value to it. But you're right. I think people are sitting there saying, hey, if they were 7-9 without Aaron Rodgers for half the season, more than half the season, what's to say they couldn't be 12-4, 11-5 with some improvements on defense with Rodgers back? New defensive coordinator. But the flip side is, look, they got to play the Vikings twice a year. The Lions were a competitive team. The Bears look much better on paper. So, you know, winning that division is going to be a grind no matter who does it. And that's part of your assessment of the 2018 Packers right there.
And then of kind of the, you don't want to say retread quarterbacks, because obviously they got big deals, but of the Kirk Cousins, of the Case Keenums, which guy do you think has positioned himself to be on the best team?
Well, I think Cousins is on the best team. You know, and I also think that dollar for dollar, somebody like Alex Smith or Case Keenum could prove to be more valuable. You know, if you look at what Keenum did during the regular season last year, I mean, he was brilliant. I mean, it was actually, the more I went back and watched what he did last year, you know, avoiding turnovers, you know, not settling for field goals as much, and you know, having more positive drives, way more positive drives than negative ones. He played really high-level football for 13 games. It wasn't the story in the playoffs, and that ultimately probably led to him leaving, you know, in the offseason. But, you know, for Case Keenum, I mean, for Kirk Cousins, rather, to raise the bar over what Keenum did in the regular season last year, that's going to be hard. I don't think they're going to win 13 games again this year, even if they're a quote-unquote better team. You know, they're fantastic on defense. We know their receiving prowess. Dalvin Cook is back. I mean, in theory, they should be more potent. But that doesn't mean they're necessarily going to win more games this year. So it's kind of a, you know, you have to look at it through that lens. They're not taking a step back if they go at 11-5 this year necessarily. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. And then another team I wanted to ask you about that has some local interest with the Dallas Cowboys. And – you look at last year, and there just felt like there was, I don't know, like, I don't know, if, there's always drama around the Cowboys, but last year felt like they never really found kind of a groove, and they never really found stability, and then obviously Dak took a slight step back, and that just kind of happens when people start to get film and stuff on you, but where do you kind of see them coming into the season? Because obviously now the Zeke Elliott suspension is kind of done and gone with. Where do you kind of see them going forward?
Yeah, there's no question that Elliott's sort of up in the air status last year, you know, in and out of court, in and out of the lineup, you know, the question about could he be suspended on a Tuesday for a Sunday game, you know, that was hanging over them all season. Plus, he reported to camp overweight and a little out of shape, and he wasn't the same player either. I mean, you know, he had a game in Denver that we had really never seen out of him before. Whether you can go back to college, you never saw him look so sort of out of it, you know, and that really did kind of hang over the team for a big chunk of the season. Now, technically, when he was out there, they were just a much better team. I mean, they were, their point differential was way in the positive with him on the field, and it was very much in the negative with him off the field. So you have to say, look, they're a better team. Those second-year defensive backs are going to be better. You know, Dak will adjust to life, you know, without Dez Bryant, that sort of thing. That's the biggest question, I think. You know, the offensive line's in good shape. The defense, in theory, should be better. It's a tough team to get a read on because we know the Eagles are going to be good. I suspect the Redskins are going to be a more competitive team. So I think the Cowboys should, you know, be in that 10-6 range, but it's a tough division. You know, the Giants aren't going to be passies anymore. I think there's a lot of tough sledding out there.
I think they're not going to be, the Giants aren't going to be as bad because they've decided that, yes, you do actually have to block up front, but that's still a team that has so many holes. Like that, I still don't understand not taking the quarterback this year. Like, I just feel like, and like, that's the thing. It's like, I like Saquon Barkley, but I didn't necessarily had to like him at two. Like, you know what I mean? Is that fair?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and we've seen more running backs go in the top five, and anyone who says that position's been devalued, I think, is missing the bigger picture, which is, you know, especially after Todd Gurley got his deal, teams seem to be more interested in getting those multifaceted running backs. But at two, I still think there's a lack of value. In the short term, it probably won't hurt him. I think Eli Manning could have a decent season this year if, you know, if Solder holds up at tackle, if Will Hernandez is a day one starter, if John Jalapio, this kind of journeyman who's actually had a really nice camp, can be their center. That'll solidify things a little up front. But, yeah, I mean, long term, I thought it was foolish to pass on Sam Darnold right there. I really did. But in the short term, Barkley could give them a special weapon. You get Odell back. You get Sterling Shepard back from injury. Evan Engram in year two. All of a sudden, you said, man, they got some weapons. You know, they got some options there all of a sudden. And I love James Betcher, their defensive coordinator. I just think he's a super sharp mind who's going to be a head coach one day. And if you ask Bruce Arians would have said, he was my choice to replace me as head coach in Arizona. That was one that he was shocked the team didn't follow up on.
Well, as a lifelong Bruce guy, so I guess I have to support that. But of course, with the Giants, the other big question in training camp is what is up with Odell's contract? Because you hear some people, there are varying reports on how far apart they are. Does this thing actually get done before this season?
I'll give Odell a lot of credit on this thing because, you know, we kind of saw him as this live wire guy and we thought, okay, you know, he's going to be prone to outbursts and he's had some emotional flare-ups, you know, the first couple years of his career or whatever. He's been on his best behavior. I mean, he has shown up to voluntary stuff. He has shown up to things he doesn't have to go to. He's been there in camp. He reportedly has looked good and is working his way back and should be the weapon that we remember. So on his part, he's doing everything you could ever ask. You know, it has nothing to do with the other holdouts going around the NFL, but if you're the team, don't you kind of have to reward him for that? Whereas as late as March, you had the owner of the Giants, John Mara, saying, we have to make sure we're prepared to make this investment in him because we don't know about Odell. Since that point, he's turned over a new leaf. Will it last? I don't know, but that's the underlying sort of, you know, groundwork there. He wants to be the highest paid non-quarterback in the league. We've heard the same things with Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald. Those are big numbers to throw around. That's quarterback type money for a non-quarterback, especially wide receiver, which is so wholly dependent on another position getting him the football. That's the biggest issue with that position and giving out big money, I think.
Well, especially when you're undersized and,
yep,
let's be real, even since college, you've been injury prone.
Like, yeah.
And I do also understand, like, you do kind of want to reward the guy for behavior, but at the same time, it's almost like he's been in the principal's office this entire year. It's almost
no
like
question.
Like, do you, it's almost like, because he knows the eyes are on him, do you give him the benefit of the doubt? At the same time, you don't want to sit there and say, like, we don't believe that you're a changed person because you're in a contract negotiation. I don't know. Like, it's such a complicated matter, because if you told me the Giants could trade him for, like, a right tackle and a second rounder, I would almost think about doing it.
Wow, okay. I mean, the other element to this that I don't think a lot of people have talked about outside of New York very much is that, you know, their new general manager, Dave Gettleman, is going through cancer treatment right now, and he's been, you know, taking care of his health, and we want him to, obviously. But, you know, that has probably slowed down negotiations a little bit, too, just the mere fact that he has, you know, had to take care of these issues as well. So it's not as easy to kind of, you know, make these things happen and set up meetings and get sustained talks day after day, that sort of thing. And remember, Gettleman, when he was in Carolina as the Panthers GM, he franchise tags Josh Norman and then rescinds the tag and lets him walk to the Redskins for nothing. I mean, he has a history of telling star players to kind of go test the market a little bit. And so there is that sense. So we don't exactly know Gettleman's sort of place in this whole thing.
And then you mentioned the AFC South. When you look at it, obviously we know the Jaguars are certainly talented beyond all belief. You got the Colts bringing back their franchise quarterback, the Titans coming off a playoff appearance. Has the AFC South kind of gone from like a punchline to quietly one of the best divisions in football?
Very competitive, top to bottom. I think you could say the difference with a healthy Luck between the first place team and the last place team might be smaller than almost any other division. I mean, I might have said the same with the NFC South had Jameis Winston not been suspended, because I thought they did some good things in the offseason, but yeah, this AFC South, it kind of reminds me a little bit of the NFC West back when Pete Carroll came in and yeah. Harbaugh was there. It feels like this could be a very competitive division for a long time. Deshaun Watson, Luck theoretically in his prime. This Jaguars defense and a team kind of built to last with, you know, a lot of starters under contract and a good foundation in place. So, you know, what happens in Tennessee, I don't know, but in theory, you've got a young quarterback with Matt LaFleur, one of the best offensive minds coming in. It should help him kind of get on track. They've got young talent there as well. So, yeah, this whole division, you can't be too pessimistic about any of them if you assume Andrew Luck is going to be back and be back at full health.
And then lastly, when you look at, I believe there was a stat last year when the Eagles won the championship, that was the seventh time in 19 years a team outside of the playoffs from the previous year had gone on to win the Super Bowl the following year. When you look at the teams that kind of fit the mold this year, and obviously when you consider the fact that the Patriots have been in that many Super Bowls and have won five times, like, it's even more so to think about.
Right.
But when you think about a team from outside the playoffs last year, who do you think fits the mold the best?
Well, I'll say this. If the Chargers get good health, they have a really talented team. And we've already seen them lose two key starters, Hunter Henry, the tight end, Jason Verrett, the corner. You know, we know that they just in recent years, they've just had the worst luck with injuries. Is it a bad medical staff or training staff? Is it just pure dumb luck? I don't know. They've got to make sure they stay healthy. But they have Phillip Rivers, you know, I think still performing at a high level. If they do a couple things, number one, beat the Chiefs because they've lost eight in a row to them. Number two, get that good health. Number three, improve their kicking. Look, they are like the worst team in one-score games in the last 3 years. I mean, it's crazy how many close games they've let slip through their fingers because of one or two mistakes, a missed field goal, that sort of thing. That's the difference between being decent and a Super Bowl team. Now, I know they don't really have a home field advantage to speak of. Small stadium, you know, fan base is kind of in limbo a little bit. But talent-wise, that defense should be a monster. And the skill guys they have, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams had a big camp. He looks like he's ready to go, former number 7 pick in the draft. Melvin Gordon, et cetera. They should be pretty darn good. I'd be surprised if they weren't a double-digit win team and maybe one that has some Eagles-like qualities to them.
Eric, love your stuff as always, my man. We appreciate your time.
All right, buddy. See you soon.
Eric Edholm of Pro Football Weekly. Chris Harrington has popped in the studio. We come back, we'll give you a radio.com cash code for your chance to win $1,000, and we'll talk some Grizz and more with Chris when we come back. Right here on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Download the official 92.9 FM ESPN app, the radio.com app. Listen anytime, anywhere, and favorite us today. WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS, Memphis's sports station.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Buying a home should be one of life's best experiences, but today's fluctuating interest rates can leave you with unexpected higher payments. And that can turn a great experience into an anxious one. At Quicken Loans, we've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.